This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
You might think financial crime is all about money, but sometimes it ends in murder. I'm Nicole Lappin, host of Money Crimes, a Crime House original podcast. Each episode features a thrilling story about the dark side of finance and how to protect yourself from it. Follow and listen to Money Crimes, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
FM Talk Podcast.
All right. Happy Thanksgiving Eve to all of you. Welcome into the Mark Cox Morning Show. And it's a Wednesday, baby. It's a little chilly outside, no doubt about that, as you head out the door this morning. Not quite as cold as yesterday, I don't think. But this is going to be a beautiful day. We got backstoppers going on tonight. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm sure Kim St. Ange is looking forward to that.
I am.
Yeah. And we've got the final few hours of the ATF raffle today. So get your, this is your last chance to buy a $1 ticket for a chance to win a $2,000 gun or boxes full of bourbon and a great night at Lit Cigar Lounge, which are going to be three different winners. Hope you can text Responder to 33100 while we're on the show today and make a donation all to Responder Rescue, and then I'll pick the winners. Actually, the computer will pick the winners today about 12:30 out at the Range St. Louis West. So the hours are ticking down here for our chance to help. Do you all like my sweatshirt I wore this morning? I'm getting in the spirit of the season.
Hold on. Let's put you the only thing on there.
I stood up on my chair. See. If you're watching on the feeds this morning on the Facebook, on Rumble or YouTube X, I wore my Donald Trump Christmas sweater this morning just for kicks, because why not? We're kicking off, to me, Thanksgiving is the kickoff of the holiday season. Now, I have already been forced to put up Christmas decorations at my house, which, I do what I'm told at home. So I went ahead and did it, but I normally don't do that until after Thanksgiving. See, it seemed a little odd to me.
I think people are putting up their lights earlier this year. I don't know if it's because we had that warm stretch of weather and people wanted to take advantage, but I put my lights up earlier than I ever have, inside and outside. I just haven't actually lit the lights outside yet.
I just think people are feeling more festive because of what happened 3 weeks ago yesterday.
I bet some lefties have put their lights up, too.
Yeah.
Maybe they're trying to bring light into their life.
Yeah, you should have seen Cammy yesterday. Very odd. Lots of people suggesting maybe she'd been hitting the bottle before she recorded this message to America to tell people to keep on fighting. That's what she said. She didn't even cackle. I mean, the cackle is gone. The joy is gone from Kamala Harris. We'll play that for you a little bit this morning if you missed it. The Trump administration has signed an agreement, a memorandum of understanding, so they can start sending their nominees into these individual departments to kind of get a running start. And my guess is there are a lot of nervous bureaucrats in Washington, D.C.
Oh, I'm sure.
Oh, can you imagine?
I mean, wouldn't you imagine at least a quarter of the people there have to think their job is donezo?
Anthony Blinken, the Secretary of State, actually held safe space meetings with people in his department, in the State Department, because people were so distraught at the idea of a strong leader in the White House again, as opposed to Joe Biden. They're all heralding this ceasefire this morning with Hezbollah. This is a sideshow. What this is evidence of is that Iran knows there's a new sheriff in town, and they're trying to calm things down before Trump takes over on January 20th, right? Hamas, Hezbollah is a terrorist organization. Why are they negotiating with a terrorist organization? And just to be very clear, the agreement that was made this morning is simply, You don't throw bombs at me, and I won't throw bombs at you. But the minute you throw a bomb at me, the deal is off. And Israel will go back in with a vengeance and bomb the living hell out of Lebanon. It's a lesson every Arab in the Middle East should learn. But they don't. And I don't understand it. Israel made it very clear yesterday that the war with Hamas is still on and will be until we wipe them out.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that's what's going on over there. In case the Biden administration tries to sell this as one final last bit of diplomacy they pulled off before Donald Trump takes over, they didn't have a whole lot to do with it, to be real honest with you. All right, lots to get to for you today. Plus, we're going to talk to Congressman Eric Burleson a little later. Told you yesterday he wants to get rid of the ATF. Which I think is a fantastic idea. We're going to get to him live at about 7:35 this morning. Right now, though, Carl, let's get to our top story.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Under the deal reached today, effective at 4 a.m. tomorrow local time, the fighting across the Lebanese-Israeli border will end. Will end.
It will end. Will end. He doubles down there. It will end. Well, it's ended for about 2 hours now. We'll see how long that lasts. When you're dealing with terrorists, nothing is certain.
Let me be clear on Hamas, and the Prime Minister was very clear about this. We will complete the task of obliterating Hamas. There's no deal to be made with Hamas.
Yeah, despite the British accent, that is a spokesman for the Israeli government pointing out that Hamas, your days are still numbered.
Are you going to bend over and let it happen? Or are you in some way going to stand up and say, you know what, this is not what we want because this is not who we are. We're not rounding up people, whether they're here legally or illegally.
Hey, Michael Steele, meet Tom Homan. A guy. It's embarrassing to me to this day that guy was ever in charge of the Republican Party. Who is he? Did he have a stroke?
I just have to remind you, don't you ever let anybody take your power from you. You have the same power that you did before November 5th.
You don't.
That was pretty good, Mark.
I'm sorry, she doesn't. Don't. The American people took your power away, Kamala Harris. If you didn't watch this yesterday, I mean, it was kind of pathetic. What motivated her to do this? You've given a concession speech.
Alcohol, Mark.
Maybe. But Tim Walz was on the same call. Like, this was a Zoom call with some of their supporters. Like, she went to San Francisco to and raise your hand if you've ever been to one of these places, a $1,600 a night resort. A private home that she rented for almost $2,000 a night in Hawaii. How many of you could afford that? Now, she makes a couple hundred thousand dollars a year as the vice president of the United States. But really? Living in Washington, D.C., flying all over the... I mean, I know her husband is an attorney, and I'm sure they've made book deals, and they've got millions of dollars in the bank. But this is another example of why she's so out of touch with Americans. She just gets back from San Francisco, and she goes on this thing telling you, don't let anybody take your power. Listen to her. I can see why afterwards people might have questioned whether or not she'd been hitting the bottle. Play cut one, Carl.
I just have to remind you, don't you ever let anybody take your power from you. You have the same power that you did before November 5th, and you have the same purpose that you did. And you have the same ability to engage and inspire. So don't ever let anybody or any circumstance take your power from you.
Yeah, I feel like I'm listening to Stuart Smalley because you're good enough and you deserve it. Honestly, come on.
I've been seeing different articles suggesting that she's eyeing a 2028 run. And I have a really hard time believing that she would ever do that, to put herself through it, and quite frankly, to put the American people through it. I don't think she would stand a chance if she actually went up against other top Democratic leaders. There's just no way.
First of all, we've established the fact that while she may be book smart enough to get through law school, she doesn't have a lot going on beyond that. She would not get one iota of support from anyone in that party for a second run. She's already been labeled a loser, and they don't want her in to be the face of the party again. They don't. They'd much rather have a Gavin Newsom or that numbskull from Michigan or somebody like that to run instead of her. So I don't think she's, but I did hear she might run for governor of California.
Heard that too. There was some survey, though, that said that like 80%, again, this was like shortly after the election, they probably felt bad for her, but it was like 80% of registered Democratic voters say they would support Kamala Harris. It was some ridiculous figure. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me.
Who are these people? Let me ask that. That's a fair question.
Mark, they're the people who have shaved their heads, the women who said that that's what they're going to do to protest Donald Trump's win.
They're the women who have promised to save the gene pool from idiocy by not bearing any children for the next 4 years. I think that's fantastic. Let's get to a quick break here, Carl Middleman, as we get to our national anthem on the day before Thanksgiving. What special edition do you have for us?
A friend of ours, someone you know as well, dared me to play this on Jimi Hendrix's 82nd birthday.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
It's the Hendrix version of it?
The edited version.
Okay. So it's not 12 minutes long?
No, it's only 2.5.
Okay.
Television news in the United States is a business. They have to make money. And again, not to go into great detail about that, but there's a hole, there's a vacuum. There is a gap, if you will, in information for Americans. Americans are very uninformed about reality, what's really going on with climate change, Ukraine, Israel, you name it, all the biggest topics in the world. Americans have an appetite for a little bit of information. That vacuum is filled by the film industry.
Alec Baldwin would not know reality if it accidentally shot him with a loaded gun.
True. Riley Gaines last night firing back on this idiot Alec Baldwin. I mean, they're in Italy. He and Sharon Stone, you could argue Stone is a completely washed up actress. I mean, when's the last time she did anything of note? And the last thing Baldwin was known for was shooting his photographer on the set of Rust. Yet they go to a foreign country and spend multiple minutes on a stage blasting America because they're butthurt that Donald Trump won the election. So they're going over there trying to downgrade you, calling you a deplorable. I mean, it's awful. Listen to Sharon Stone. I mean, she's been exposed in the past, but this exposes a different part of her body, her ignorance. Go to cut 10.
You know, Italy has seen fascism. Italy has seen these things. You guys, you understand what happens. You have seen this before. My country is in its adolescence. Adolescence is very arrogant. Adolescence thinks it knows everything. Adolescence is naive and ignorant and arrogant. And we are in our ignorant, arrogant adolescence. We haven't seen this before in our country. So Americans who don't travel, who 80% don't have a passport, who are uneducated, are in their extraordinary naivete.
Some people who didn't go to college are some of the smartest people I know, by the way. I have really been blessed in my travels, and I do feel like I've learned a lot from going to various countries, but by no means do you have to leave even your city to be very intelligent and be well-versed in what's going on. I mean, that comment is idiotic.
This adolescent saved the world twice.
Well, wait, were we in our mature phase when Joe Biden took office?
Obama was president.
I think we were mature and we went.
That was our mature
phase. Right.
Yeah, that was our mature phase. Now we're just ignorant adolescents. This adolescent country saved the world twice. Italy specifically and more directly, for that matter, England and France and all of Europe would be speaking German today and saluting the Third Reich if not for the United States of America. And it pisses me off that these pointy-headed liberals from Hollywood go to foreign countries and have the audacity to insult every American. They're insulting your ancestors, your parents, your grandparents who gave their life for this country. That's who these people are. They don't deserve to earn another dollar in the United States of America. There's no doubt about that. We're going to get to Kim on a whim when we come back.
Kim on a whim.
I'll admit I was doom scrolling on social media yesterday when I came across what I'm about to talk about. Because this reporter friend of mine, I used to work with him in Des Moines, Iowa, my first market. He now is a reporter, maybe an investigative reporter in the Milwaukee area. And I see this headline. He works, by the way, for the station TMJ4.
Yep, here's, I know it well.
Here's the headline. We're teaming up with TMJ4 and Wisconsin Watch, which, by the way, is an independent investigative news outlet, to investigate problematic police officers. And instantly I'm like, wait a minute, I need to do some digging into this. Because to me, it's just so, like, it's just what you would expect. These news outlets, in particular these local news outlets, that just seem to really go after cops. Are there bad cops? Absolutely. Are there bad lawyers? Absolutely. Are there bad doctors? Absolutely. Are there bad teachers? Absolutely. Shall I go on?
Are there bad radio hosts?
There absolutely are, Mark.
Yes,
now, they're not
are.
In this room, but they do exist. Carl, you take those crickets away. So they're in every job sector, right? You always have them. And we always say you don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, okay? Not all cops are bad, despite what a lot of people on the left want to think. But I guess there's something about this. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't investigate bad people, right? Like, I understand that police have power if they go testify, which is kind of what's mentioned in this article, that they hold a lot of power, right? If you're on trial and a cop comes to testify, I mean, what they say has power, right?
Sure.
But it's just fascinating to me the ways that media, it just seems, goes after cops, and it doesn't seem to be balanced by the way that they go after the bad guys, right? It's like somehow the bad guys become the victims in all of this. And it just, I don't know what their fixation is. I don't know if it's, they feel like it's a good click-worthy story and they know people like me are going to want to see, you know, what they're talking about if they can do some story about a bad cop. I don't know, but this thing bothers me that these outlets are coming together and they're going to work together to, you know, find these problematic, you know, police officers.
It almost sounds like a ratings piece.
Well, that's kind of what I wondered.
Is it a sweeps piece?
Clickworthy. I don't think it's a sweeps piece. I mean,
usually the ratings month stops just before Thanksgiving, right? For the November ratings book wouldn't have started.
So
stopped
this,
just before Thanksgiving.
Actually, you know what? Today would be the final day, likely.
Yeah,
of
would
sweeps.
Be the final
there
day
would
of the
be
book.
A new month in February, and those,
right.
If you're not familiar with sweeps, there's 4 months out of the year for TV where, I mean, you go all out and you do your big investigations and you promote the heck out of them. And November is one of those months.
Where
February,
they brainstorm
May, July.
On what will get the most clicks if we put this out as a headline, and then let's go do the story. They'll have planning meetings for months on what to do for the next sweeps period to try to loop you in, because those four, and now it's not as important as it used to be, but those 4 months out of a year when they would do sweeps were what they based their ad rates on, their ratings for the rest of the whole year, right? It's very important to them.
It's so huge. This You're is not the, allowed to take off work.
This is a great example of, instead of going out and investigating, as you mentioned, the prosecutors like Kim Gardner that exist everywhere in the country who ignore the real crime and chase Eric Greitens and do silly things like that are purely politically motivated. Instead of going after them, the ones that empty out the workhouse down here and let the criminals back out in the community while they're awaiting trial or just never get to trial because you dropped the ball and you never showed up in court. How about going after those people instead of the ones that are on the street working their butt off and potentially taking lead every day? I mean, that is the scary part of this. It's malpractice.
No, I know. And you think about how, I mean, it's already tough, I would assume, to become a police officer. And then just the amount of scrutiny that you deal with. and you have a split second to make a decision. And yes, I mean, you should be very careful about that, obviously, but it just feels like they tie their hands behind their back, where you'd be scared to do that job because you're going to be the next viral sensation if you do one bad thing. And of course, everyone's very quick to grab their phone and record. The managing editor of the Wisconsin Watch, which I mentioned was an independent investigative outlet that I'd not even heard of, but they're quoted in the story saying, you know, this isn't a story where we're trying to do gotcha journalism or anything like that. This is really about transparency and telling Milwaukee residents what they should know about the credibility of their police officers. Do they want the public to hate police? Is that the goal here?
Sure they do.
Because
they
really won quite a few people over, sadly.
To distrust the police by pushing the during the BLM riots and all of that stuff. That's exactly what the purpose of it is.
Now, I'm okay with you investigating the creepy people like the Ferguson police officer, now former Ferguson police officer, was allegedly taking women's cell phones back because they said that's where their insurance, their car insurance was. So he would supposedly take that back to their car, find nude pictures. I don't know why all these women have nude pictures on their phones. Apparently it's a thing.
Yeah.
But anyway, he would find their nude pictures and then text them to himself and then, of course, delete the text. So there
don't
was
shame
no
the victim,
evidence.
Kim.
You're right. It's actually their fault that they had nude pictures.
They were asking
to be targeted. Really?
I'm sorry.
So
you're
so
right,
that
though, but that's
guy,
a good
I'm
example.
Fine with. I'm not. Do not mistake what I'm saying. I'm good with. And if there is a bad cop out there, you should look into him or her, just like you should look into all the bad criminals and the bad lawyers and the bad doctors and teachers. I could go on and on. It's not. I don't know.
There's no doubt that there are people who abuse the system, but what puts those first responders, those police officers, ahead of everyone else in the queue is that they signed up first and foremost to serve and protect. Now, there's no way to filter every single one of them and make sure there's not some character flaw in there that causes them to abuse that system. But to suggest in a story like that it's a raging problem across Milwaukee is just a lie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lie determined to damage the reputation of those officers in the community, of the police agencies.
They refer in this story to something called the Brady List, and they say it comes from the 1963 U.S. Supreme Court case Brady v. Maryland, which ruled that prosecutors can't withhold material that could help the defense at trial. So essentially what it sounds like this is, because I was looking into it, it's an aggregate site. So they'll take information from journalists or wherever else, lawyers, I guess, and if there's an officer who has had some sort of situation involving supposed misconduct or public complaints, use of force reports, citizen reports, decertification, those officers then, regardless of the department, they would get put on this so-called Brady List.
Huh.
So it sounds like a lot of what they're dealing with in Milwaukee is they were trying to get these various counties to release their Brady List, the officers who were on that, and they wouldn't. So there was the threat of a lawsuit involved. Like, it's this whole thing. I'll be honest, I never even heard of the Brady List. Had you?
I don't think that I had.
No.
No.
So I'm kind of curious to see. I'm hoping that I can remind myself to look at one of these stories that they do once they actually get a chance to release the first one, because I'm very curious the angle that they're going to take on it.
And the thing about it is that probably, I don't know that it's the majority, but I think in most larger communities, most larger cities, most of the police officers, a lot of them have body cameras now. And they, if when they're turned on, they're set to record when you have an interaction. And I think that, as much as anything, eliminates the risk of that kind of abuse. Did you see the Chicago councilwoman yesterday who got arrested for drunk driving? She was obviously drunk. You've been drinking with your friends. You can tell when they're drunk. This woman, you could tell from, she got in an accident. She hit two people and she wouldn't get out of her car, and the officers interacting with her. And at some point she admitted that she was an elected official, like a do you know who I am kind of comment. And then she questioned the officer's manhood.
Oh.
All on body camera.
Oh, my gosh.
She's famous in Chicago this morning because that tape has been playing nonstop.
How did I miss that?
I don't know. I'll show it to you, but it's pretty funny. There are bad officers out there, but such a tiny percentage compared to every other profession. I'm just convinced of it. So thanks to all of our police officers, men and women, for what you do every day. For running toward the lead instead of away from it. That's what we appreciate. All right, we're going to get to a quick break here. We got Jeremy Rosenthal coming up. We're going to talk more about the judge yesterday agreeing to dismiss all those charges against Donald Trump for the election interference case and the documents case in Mar-a-Lago.
Please don't ever play that version of the national anthem again. That was absolutely horrible.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
I'm just kidding. I didn't mind. I don't mind it, but I've heard it before. And you said that's a shortened version of it?
Yeah.
Because there's one that's like 12 minutes long.
Oh, my gosh,
there's one that's really long. I don't know if it's 12 minutes or not.
My ears would bleed.
But it's also 55 years old.
What's that woman's name? Do you know?
That is Tammy. But Tammy sounds younger.
I agree with you.
And she might not have grown up with it like the...
I know. I'm just Sue agrees. I mean, we don't play it very often, but today is his birthday.
Yeah.
How old might he have been today?
82.
Ah, okay.
He lived till 27.
Wow, he was only 27. He was an amazing guitarist. Particularly when you consider you play guitar upside down. It makes it even more incredible.
And on drugs.
And on drugs most of the time. That version of the national anthem might have even sounded like that a little bit. You think?
A little bit.
We have a correction to issue.
Yeah,
we?
So I was saying in the last segment for Kim on a Whim that it was the Ferguson Police Department that had an officer who was accused of taking nude pictures off women's phones during traffic stops and then texting them to himself, but it was actually a former Florissant police officer.
Yes.
And of course the department's come out and said, you know, we had no knowledge of this, you know, and are asking anyone else to come forward if they have any information.
Two of my police friends texted me this morning and said it was Florissant. They didn't want to. It's important, I guess, to make sure we get the agency right, for sure.
Are they with the Ferguson Police Department?
No. And somebody else pointed out to me they're not. Somebody else pointed out to me that it was Kim Gardner who kept a Brady list.
Yeah, in fact, I had someone message me about that.
We didn't refer to it. I never referred to it as a Brady list. I referred to it as a blacklist.
Right?
She had these officers on. They were blackballed, and she would not hear any case they were involved in, and she wouldn't tell anybody who was on the list.
Mm-hmm.
But I was told at the time that they had officers who had to be pulled off the street because any case they were associated with, Kim Gardner wouldn't deal with, and she never had to explain that to anybody. She should have been charged with a crime for that. I never understood how she got away with that.
Mm-hmm.
Among many things.
For the circuit attorney to do that how many officers were on that? It was quite a few.
It was numerous. And the thing about it is that there was no standard for how somebody got on it. If she heard a rumor, an unfounded rumor that somebody did something at one point in the past or didn't act right, she just wouldn't deal with any cases from them. So in a city already struggling to deal with crime, you had to deal with that idiot on top of it. I mean, that's amazing that she lasted as long as she did in that role.
I wonder what's going to happen to her, because remember, they did finally find her. They've been trying to track her down forever because they were trying to get information from her about different expenditures and things when she was in power.
This is the scary thing. I don't know where they found her, but the thing you should be worried about is that if she got that nursing degree, she might be in a nursing home somewhere waiting on your loved one.
It's like Happy Gilmore.
Could you imagine
laying
in bed and needing a nurse, pressing the call button, and in walks Kimmy Gardner?
What am I thinking? Carl, I know you can think of
it's
that.
It's Ben Stiller.
It is Ben Stiller, but I'm trying to think of she's like, my fingers hurt.
Happy keeps checking on his mom, our grandma.
Grandma, yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I know that. By the way, thanks again to all of you that have donated to this ATF raffle. I was just checking it a minute ago, and I mean, the donations have poured in since yesterday, and I can't thank you enough. I was just checking again this morning to see what we're up to. We're doing great. We've got 6 hours left till noon today when we're going to draw a winner on this. So there's still time for you to text a responder to 33100 or go to our website and go to 971talk.com. You can go in person to the range. My guess is if we're drawing this at 12:30, they're probably going to cut off ticket sales on that site by around noon. I'll try to confirm that with Charles over there at the range as the show goes on this morning. But they'll probably cut off ticket sales by around noon today. So you got 6 hours left. Chance to win fabulous prizes. Some, you know, I've seen some $300 and $500 donations on here, and a lot of nice comments like, thank you to Responder Rescue. I was once a first responder. I want to do what I can. Donated $50, donated $100. All of the money is going to go directly into the coffers of Responder Rescue. And I talked to Lisa Byrne yesterday. And, you know, if you listened to the show yesterday, or if you didn't, I would encourage you to go back and listen to the show yesterday. Because really, we had an opportunity to hear from one of the police officers who benefited from their generosity. And it is a powerful story of how she got her life back because my friends at Responder Rescue stepped in and paid medical bills for her. Please go back and listen to that. We'll have it up on the podcast for you, I'm sure. Coming up next hour, more on that groundbreaking decision by a judge to dismiss Donald Trump's criminal cases. We'll be back.
Get more at 971talk.com.